Now on Sports Day, a six-time All-Australian, five-time Western Bulldogs leading goal kicker, the eighth legend of the Western Bulldogs Hall of Fame, and three-time Charles Sutton medal winner.
Brad Johnson, goal of the day!
You pay your money to come to the footy and you see a man in his big game finish off with the winning goal.
All right, there might just be just a half a second delay as we welcome him in. Jono, where do we find you this evening?
Good evening, Kane. Jared, how are you guys? I'm actually up here, I'm in Nagambie as we speak. So it's a big weekend or big week, a couple of days coming up and a weekend for my son Jack with some racing. So we're hanging out here for a couple of days and I'll head back with some footy and bits and pieces. But I've had a big day, to be honest, guys. I'm a bit frazzled, Kane, because this morning I wake up, I thought I'll get some work done around the house, and I walk outside and I go through my pool gate and I might have fallen in the pool.
Oh, no.
This morning, no. without any this is just crazy. I've walked into the pool area, misstepped, and the next thing you know, at 7:30 this morning, I'm in the pool, fully decked, phone's in my pocket. My phone doesn't work anymore. I'm on a temporary phone. The day, look, I know speaking to you is going to be the highlight of my day now. Because
have you been near liver? Have you caught something from liver, the falling over disease?
Now, the funny thing is, right, I'm setting this up because my son Jack actually found it on our security camera, so I may release it.
No, this needs to go exclusively on the Sports Day social media accounts tonight. We need this vision. Have you reviewed the vision and have you worked out how this has possibly happened?
I've reviewed the vision. I clip a little post near our pool and I just lose balance. And the next thing I'm in.
Could be delayed concussion, John. It is someone clipping in the last year of your career.
No, I'm working on a couple of things in the background to try and present it in the most humorous way that I can, Cornsy and Jared. That was the start of my day. So, but here we are now. And you know, interesting, Jared. Did you grow up in the era of? And I heard before about the Big Mac chant.
Yeah.
Did you ever go into Macca's and stand there in front of the desk, in front of one of the young workers, and yep. have to say it no. with under 3 seconds to no. get yeah. to get a
they're,
free.
Jono, they're bringing it back. It was 4 seconds.
Yes. And was it four? Was it?
It was 4 seconds, and if you did that, you got some item off the menu. Yep. But they're bringing it back, so they're asking Australia to warm up the vocal cords again.
Don't blame
And if
them.
You can do it. You can earn a free small Coke and fries by purchasing a Mac Junior Big Mac or Double Big Mac. They come in three sizes now. So
you'd be able to do
back.
It, Jono, wouldn't you?
Well, no, absolutely. I can do it in about a second. But I don't think you'd understand me, but I can do it.
Oh,
but the good part about this now is that when we did it, there was no cameras, right?
Oh, okay.
So there was nothing filmed. I'm just waiting to see what's going to be filmed here and what's going to be released from the faithful who are standing there trying to get this out in 4 seconds in front of the poor old workers that are going to have to put up with this now as well.
Jono, you played 360-odd, I think it was, something ridiculous like that. How many times can you remember were you suspended? I've got it in front of me, but I just want to test you.
Oh, I was suspended twice.
Yes. Do you know what for?
Yes, I do. And I hate repeating this. I hate repeating this. I was suspended for 1 week for striking.
Yep. And John Barnes in round 21 in 2000.
Yep, in 2000. And I was suspended for stomping.
Stomping. Romper stomper. Week. The nicest man in football has been suspended for stomping on Adelaide's Brett
Burton.
You know
what? With what's going on at the tribunal at the moment,
I'm going back.
I'm going to see if I can get that charge changed because stomping sounds so bad, but I basically stood on his little toe, Kane. So
right.
That's what it should be. That's what
long
it should
stops
be,
or molded?
To. No, I may have had the long stops on.
Okay, well, that's where the work. Jared. That's where the work.
So, yeah, it probably was. I remember, I think Granty was having his, it was in the first quarter against Adelaide. over in Adelaide, and I mean, Grant, he might have been going for his fifth goal right on the siren in the first quarter, and yeah, he was standing behind me, and I just sort of trot on his foot and got caught by the ump. So Granny got the ball taken off him, and I copped a fair spray at quarter time from the skipper at the time. But you know what? That was just the way it was a little bit back then. The amount of times that I was trodden on and things like that. It was just one of those little things that unfortunately I got caught doing and had to take a week off.
Have you rated the start of the season? We've got a fair sample now.
I think the start of the season's been excellent, and I think in terms of the some individual players that have really started to stand up, we're seeing a little bit of a change in the very best in the competition in the early stage of the season. Players that have played well for a period of time, but like Isaac Heaney, we're talking about, that's taken this step into
realms.
I remember speaking to you about probably 5 or 6 years ago, Jared, and we're talking about Isaac Heaney being. Could he be their best player in the comp back then? Just because of his attributes, you know, his physique, his power, his endurance. He had everything there, sitting there to be the best player in the comp. Now, it didn't pan out that way back then, but we're certainly seeing the fruits of his power and endurance and skill in this season. And he started so well. And it might have been the case if Sydney had a full book of midfielders at the start of the season. He still might have had to play just half forward, and he might be going through the same old season which has been excellent.
Could be an accidental Brownlow medalist at this stage.
Well, it could be. Yeah, absolutely, Jared. So that's the good part about seeing Isaac Heaney grow and the next step of Tom Green. I'm liking the players that may have had poor seasons last year, or not poor, but down on average seasons last year. Compared to what we're seeing and them responding like a Caleb Sarong or a Brayshaw at Frio, Pierce for Frio. Like there's players like that have really taken a huge step in the early part of the season, and there's no question why their teams are going well. Also, we'll still see fluctuations in sides over the journey, but the ones that are in that early run for premiership favouritism have really caught our eye because of the positive footy that they're playing.
Jono, contrasting views on your club, the Bulldogs, and it may even be contrasting internally when you hear Luke Beveridge speak versus perhaps the way that the club views the list. Can I ask you how you personally rate the list and whether you think they should be in contention this year?
Yeah, so the list for me has always, the top end, and I've said this Kane a number of times, that the top end has always been sort of your elite, unbelievable week in, week out top performers, and there's just been a gap in that sort of, you know, we always speak of the 22, I suppose, and the players 16 to 22 that just haven't been able to bridge a gap to the elite players in their team to then take the team to the next level. And I suppose a prime example that I think of all the time is the Gold Coast Suns, and maybe this year in particular, a little bit of last year, but it was always in their midfield. It was always Tuke Miller, and then a massive gap to Raoul and Anderson. I know Raoul was injured for a bit, and who they were bringing through. All of a sudden, that gap is closed. If not, players have taken over from Miller. The Gold Coast Suns, you're going Raoul, Anderson, Flanders, Miller in terms of the way you talk. But at the Western Bulldogs, it's always Bont, Little Gap, Norton, English, Liberatore, you know what I mean? And now maybe a Liam Jones back in the fold. But then there's gaps everywhere. And unfortunately, the middle tier players of that hold up the majority of the 22, they play well 1 week, or for 2 weeks in a row, they'll have a couple of downers and then get going again. There just hasn't been a full consistent run. So that's how I see the overall aspect of where they're at. And you know, I actually agree with Bevo that if you're out of form, then you put yourself in the vision of match committee. And if you're in the vision, as we all know, it can come down on you pretty harshly, unless you do something miraculous to change your own momentum and the way you're viewed within match committee. That because once they put a set on you early on, it can be difficult to change it. And it could be one bad quarter that affects that, unfortunately. But that's just a reality of where you might be at as a player at this particular time. So you do have to go back. You do have to serve your penance. And you've got to go back with an attitude to respond. I think the players have done that, no question. But whether they get straight back in is the other part of the equation.
Now, John, I want you to hold your breath because how big a game do you think this one is coming up?
Against the Saners, it's enormous. Okay. Yeah, it's huge. Because
well, the breaking news is that Jamara Ugle-Hagan will miss tomorrow night's game due to personal reasons. So
okay.
It's a body blow. We're not sure what the personal reasons are. That's why they're personal. But it's a body blow to the Hawks. Clearly, there's some there's a lot of stock that can come into the side. But Jamara's three goals last week, they were looked like the start of a big run for me.
Yeah, look, that's big news, and obviously we just all hope everything's okay because he was in pretty good form, Jamara. He was clunking everything. His hands were unbelievable over the last two or three weeks of footy, and then you've got Liberatore out of that team as well, and playing a St Kilda team that is just so hard to score against. You look throughout the year so far, and you know they've gone. For the opposition, have scored 68, then 94, but then 67, 67, 79. And now I know St Kilda don't score themselves in terms of what they put out in the park, and maybe that's something they need to sort of look at themselves. But their restriction of the opposition is first class. So it makes it even tougher for the Bulldogs without Jamara Ugle-Hagan in the side to be able to hit the scoreboard on a regular basis. So St Kilda will certainly be really confident that they may be able to hold the Bulldogs to a relatively low score here, and even if they don't score much themselves, which they haven't throughout the season, that may be enough to hold them off.
Max King out, Ugle-Hagan is out. Which club has suffered the bigger loss?
Oh, Dogs. Probably, yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that, Kane. I think with what St Kilda can offer from a mid-size. So Liam Jones is the mainstay at the Bulldogs, so he'll take one, but it's more the smalls and mid-size players that could potentially hurt the Dogs' defence. So that's their biggest challenge. But Jamara Ugle-Hagan is more of that sort of up around moving a little bit higher. But it means Norton might play a little bit deeper this week, and it may mean that Darcy is a bit more of the floater. It could actually work in potentially Aaron's favour if he can.
We're told Lobb's coming in, Jono.
Yeah, so the caveat to that is that I think the Dogs have more cover than what the Saints have. So Jamara's a bigger loss, but the Dogs have Darcy and Lobb and Norton. The Saints don't have a whole lot. Caminiti and Membry's not as good as replacements there. So those teams, are the teams officially out yet, Jared? They'll be out in a matter of minutes, I would have thought, the final team. So
yeah, they're out now.
They're out now. Okay. Well,
yeah, the other one too, guys, is Tim English, I think, because his role with Marshall, it's a massive matchup. But it is for Tim because last week against the Bombers, he just looked flat, and his performance was well below what we're used to seeing over the last 12 months, and he was probably a reflection on the group as a whole, because with Essendon, you look at their gut run last week, and I know it's a basic term, but it's one that I love in footy. But Martin for the Bombers ran 14.2, Kelly ran 14, McGrath 13.9, Dersmer 13.9, and Merritt 13.2. They were the top six players on the ground for distance covered. Not one Bulldog in there. So if they're, regardless of who is in this lineup for the Bulldogs this weekend, if they're not willing to work and put pressure on the opposition and push from one side to the other and just really put their heads down to work, and St Kilda come out with the top five or six players on the ground in distance run again, they will get belted off the park like they did last week.
Hold it there. Lots to get through with Jono on the other side of this. We'll go through those teams as well next. You are listening to Sports Day. Brad Johnson is in the house with us. The teams for tomorrow night's vital game between the Saints and the Bulldogs are in, but for some reason my AFL website is not loading. So Sammy, can you just put them back up on the Google Doc for me and we'll go through it. But we know that Jamara Ugle-Hagan is out. In for the Dogs come Lobb, Garcia and Harms. Lib is out with concussion, and no surprise is Baker, after he kicked it out in the full three times, has been omitted. No Bailey Dale.
No Bailey Dale.
Well, unless he just stays in.
No Caleb Daniel, sub. No Bailey Dale.
Well, unless I'm not sure what the protocol is these days with the sub. He was sub last time, so maybe he just stays in and they can adjust the sub there without actually announcing it.
Zach Jones and for the Saints, for the Saints.
Yeah, Jones is in, and the big blow is that Max King is out. Jono, what do you make of that?
Yeah, well, I think you're right there. Dale will stay in, whether he starts a sub again or whether whether they maybe have Garcia or Harm start in that role and Dale gets a gets a crack at it. We'll wait.
Surely you can't make him sub 2 years, 2 weeks.
No,
in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
Otherwise, you're saying to him, you're going to the seconds.
Well, that's right. So it basically it's a huge game for him, isn't it? Because if he gets a full crack at it and doesn't succeed, then the reality is that the following week he will be in the seconds. You're not going to go back to sub again. So I think Harms or Garcia can play that role anyway. Maybe Garcia as well. He's been in good form. It's sort of an awkward one, isn't it? Because you've got a player who's had 38 a couple of times in the twos. Do you bring him in and start him as sub, or do you bring him in and start him and give him a crack? And I would personally lend towards bringing a player like that in to give him first crack at it, because he's in fine form. You don't want to then bring him on after, you know, half time or at the end of the third quarter. I wouldn't have thought.
All right, let's talk about some other issues, because you saw Geelong play live last week. I know it was North Melbourne, but have they surprised you, the Cats?
No, they in some ways their rise, compared to last year, yeah. Look, it's been excellent to be able to watch them live a couple of times. They play an exceptional brand of footy. They're coached so well. I really believe that James Riley's had a huge impact on this group in a really short period of time. We saw what he was able to do when he was at the Cats, and I worked with him for a couple of years. He was outstanding in development, so there's no question he can certainly develop.
Big
AFL
loss for Adelaide
players.
Too, John.
Yeah, that's right, Kane. And I think that that is being felt a little bit as well, because players, especially in the forward half of the ground, would have loved Riles, and now he's having an impact at the Cats. But the way that Jeremy Cameron's playing his footy is outstanding, and I'm loving watching what he's producing at this particular point in the season, because he's kicked 14 in 5 games. To round 9 last year, he had 34. We were at one stage talking about Jeremy Cameron potentially kicking 100 goals, be the next player to do that in a season. But the way that he's playing up the ground and flowing back through, his possession rate is a lot higher, but his effect with possession is through the roof as well. And, you know, yeah, he taught, I think it's Biggie Nguyen, he taught him a little bit of a lesson in terms of what is expected from a top-level player of endurance if you're going to play on someone like a Jeremy Cameron. But I think it's a lesson well learnt there, because he still played well, Nguyen, and he had some really good moments in the game. It's just that Jeremy Cameron's just at a whole, different level and where he's at in his career. But it's more the guys of Bruin, Bowes, Close is back to his best from 2023 being down. Stengel the same, back to his best. Conning the same, back to his best after a down year. And Zach Guthrie continues to really impress as a player coming off half back, and his size and strength is better again. So when you talk about a Cats team and they've got their stars and they can rest a couple of players against, you know, a side like North Melbourne, but ultimately it's those ones that really haven't achieved a hell of a lot in the competition yet that are bridging that gap between the very best in their team to them who sit at, you know, position 16 to 20 on the playing list.
Do you see them in the premiership race, Jono?
Oh, absolutely, Jared. I think we have to, because their senior players, I think, have still got that ability to be able to influence games. And where they're at the moment, I think, is with them banking wins and being able to, you know, then strategically, you know, hold Danger over for an extra week or rest Tom Hawkins at the right time,
yep,
will make these guys cherry ripe come finals footy. So
it's amazing that they've got still Guthrie and Dangerfield to come back into the side.
Oh, it is. And the good part is, Jared, as well as Mitch Duncan's going and just doing his thing these days, and Zach Tui, we don't talk about them anymore, but they're still important cogs in what Geelong are trying to do in terms of the way they structure up on game day. And Blitzars is the one for me. If he stays healthy, then they're right in the discussion. If he goes down with injury at any stage throughout the season, I think that'll have a bigger effect on the Cats than what others may consider it.
Mm. All right, and a word on the Bombers?
Yeah, well, I mentioned it quickly before the break, Kane, in terms of just that they were smashed in the media the week before because of the way that they played, and everyone's talking about the edge. Well, they came out and responded, but they responded with in some ways, it wasn't skill-based. It was just completely effort-based, but ability to want to push and outwork your direct opponent or the opposition. And they did that as the collective, the Bombers. So it really was an excellent win. They were under pressure in the second quarter. They stood up and they were able to certainly get past that with a couple of dogs misses. And then and we watched them live, Jared. They completely outworked the Bulldogs from one end of the ground to the other. They transitioned it with speed, but it was because they were able to outwork from a running point of view the Bulldogs to the outside to give their halfbackers like McGrath options to use the ball well coming off the back half of the ground. So I thought they were outstanding, Essendon, and it just goes to show in this competition. We talk about above the shoulders a lot, I get it, but that was a game for Essendon completely above the shoulders in terms of their mental approach to really want to work. Now, whether they back it up this week's the big question, but they've put themselves in a position to gain some real confidence off that.
All right, mate. Well, take us through your rolling All-Australian team. Can't wait any longer.
Yeah, let's go. All right, so it's a couple of changes this week.
You swung the axe.
No, just a couple of times, Jared, but not too many. There's Vlosten, Pearson and Taylor in the back. And now I know Taylor's out, but someone could take his spot this week if they play extremely well. I've got a close eye on Luke Ryan at the moment. I think he's been
outstanding. Hasn't he been good?
Yeah, so good. So good. Even Wilkie for St Kilda. I've got just an eye on him and how he goes this week as well. Stewart, Blakey had the bye, so he stays in. And Whitfield. Blakey's the one that we just keep a close eye on as well as Errol Goulden on a wing. Jared, I know you're keeping an eye on how his performances are going this year. Then Sarong and Kelly through the midfield. Myers, Jeremy Cameron comes in, Petrarca on the half-forward line. Bolton comes in from Richmond, who was outstanding again, Kerno and Fritz. And then I've got Gorn, Heaney and Green, Rao, Butters, Rosie and Hogan's on the bench.
Right.
So I've gone Bolton and Cameron in, Jackson, and this really hurts me. He might be the captain of the Bulldogs, but I've had to take the Bont out after his performance last week.
Tagged out of the game. What taggers can do.
Yeah,
fair enough. Who's your Brownlow medal favourite?
So the favourite still, I think it's still Isaac Heaney, but I'd love to get your opinion on where Jeremy Cameron sits in this discussion all of a sudden, because he's definitely got six. He could have nine. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, you know, as a key forward playing up the ground, I know he floats through the zones, but he's eye-catching. And what he's doing, I know he kicked the six on the weekend, but it was his eye-catching runs through the back half of the ground, through the wings. And, you know, he's passing the umpires on a regular basis, all four of them on most occasions when he's running from one end to the other. So I think he's slowly becoming part of this conversation, Jeremy Cameron.
Putting him on notice. Graham Myers, does he get some attention by the Brisbane Lions?
Well, I don't know whether they play that way, but if they did, would you throw Wilmot to Graham Myers and just let him go around with him? Or is he just a player, Jared, that's benefiting from structure over individual defender playing on a forward? Because he's dominating structure.
Yeah, the way they use him is he starts half forward, and if the opposition want to generate a spare, because you're protecting against Hawkins and Cameron and Henry, okay, well, we'll drop off him if he's going to go up. But then he's so smart at keeping you accountable with where he's winning the football. He's not getting junk up in the back half. He's having dangerous possession. So good luck to you if you want to drop off and make your pay. So then if you want to follow him, well, you empty out the forward line, you create more space for Hawkins, Cameron, and the elite forwards that they've got. Or Close goes and does the same thing. So Myers might play a little bit closer to the goal, and Close will go up and you can drop off him, and he's not as good as Myers, but he'll still make your pay. So really, he's had 20 coaches' votes, Graham Myers. Jeremy Cameron's had 22. Isaac Heaney, clearly the leader in terms of coaches' votes. He's
41,
16 ahead of 41, 16 ahead of Christian Petrarca. So, but Jeremy Cameron did get the full 10 on the weekend.
Just on the Swans and the Suns game, boys, I'm just thinking the Swans have just got through the last couple. They lost against Richmond, as we know, just got through against West Coast. And I think it's on the back of individual performances. They're way off their team game, and it's part their problem and part the opposition have started to make it more difficult for them to play the way they wanted to. But if you took the best three or four performers out and their impact individually, like Blakey and Heaney, for instance, I think the Swans, they're going to have to play a hell of a lot better, even if it's at home, to knock off the Suns, who are on a roll.
Yeah, look, the Suns are. Have been excellent to watch. I've really enjoyed them. It's sort of good, Jared, because we've watched them so often and done a lot of their games where they've been whacked off the park. Now they're going the other way and doing that to the opposition, which is in some ways great to see the development of them as a footy club. But look, I personally think that Sydney should be able to handle them still with the physical sort of size and strength of this group compared to Gold Coast collectively. But if you allow Collins to get on top down back and their midfield through Jared Witts, who is so underrated in what he does to this Gold Coast Suns side. This guy is brilliant at just putting his body in the right spot. Yeah, he gave a couple of free kicks away in the first quarter, but he putting his body in the right spot, especially at centre bounce, to give them first use of the footy going forward. And that's probably the biggest aspect of Gold Coast for me, because when he plays, they play well. When he doesn't, they generally don't. So they've got to go past that a little bit as a side, and that's where I think Sydney will remain to have the edge. But Mac Andrew, how good was he? He was floating last week, Mac Andrew. Yeah.
And the week before he did. He just made a couple of errors with the foot, but the gather round he was superb and went better again.
Mm. Yeah, so good. That mark he took out on the far side of the ground on the wing where he just sort of floated through midair was one of the highlights of the round.
All right, Jono. Jared said he's been working all day on his yes or no with Jono. We are going to unleash him upon you next. Jono's with us thanks to Mate Internet. $20 off for 5 months with Mate Internet. You can use the promo code SAVE20 with Mate Internet. And you are listening to Sports Day for Kia EV9. It's the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. And for Maccas, you just got to walk into Maccas and recite the Big Mac chant, and they're going to give you some free items off the menu if you don't mind. Every kind of hungry in there. More Sports Day with Jono. Yes or no, next. And it's time now for this.
No. Now on Sports Day, it's time for Yes, No with Jono.
Okay, Jono, all the way up to Puckapunyal, Jeff Gleeson got it totally wrong last night, introducing the good bloke factor into the tribunal.
Yes.
Another chook loophole that will be closed at the season's end. Yes or no?
Yes.
Barring injury, the form of Harley Reid sees the Rising Star Award already over.
No.
The Suns' juggernaut will upset the Swans.
No.
Given the increased cost of shipping and green coffee beans, Jono, we will be paying $8 for a cup of coffee before the end of the year. Yes or no?
Are you serious?
$8.
$8 for what? Are we talking
small
a
cafe just latte?
A small latte.
Yep.
Wow, no chance. There is no way we pay that much for a coffee. No way.
Stay tuned. Jake Stringer, Jono, wants a 3-year deal. Would you give it to him? Yes or no?
No.
2 years?
Yes.
Darcy Parrish is in a major form hole. No. Yes or no?
No. Not major.
Not major?
No.
Okay.
There's a drop off from what he produced last year, yes, but it's not major.
So he's in a minor form hole.
A minor. Yes.
Okay. So there's no chance of him being omitted.
No.
Noah Ainsworth should pull his head in and drop the adolescent gestures.
Oh, yes.
Harrison Petty should button his lip and stop the cheap verbal shots that's getting him into trouble, yes or no?
Yes.
Charlie Cameron will be a significant difference against Geelong, highlighting the AFL's Chook Lotto impact.
Yes, he'll kick six this week. Oh, what?
Won't there be a blow-up after that?
Oh, massive.
Oh, gee. I don't think Jeff Gleeson will be invited down to Geelong anytime soon.
No.
Even for the Collingwood games. They don't play there. Jono, Farmer Wants a Wife would be in the top 10 worst shows on TV in prime time. Yes or no?
I've never watched The Judge It really, Jared. I've watched a little bit when it first came out. It's all right. It's good. Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Well, is it in the top 15 worst shows?
Yeah, let's put it in there, Jared.
We should be congratulating the Gold Coast on their academy success rather than sooking about the plight of Melbourne clubs who have been pillaging their players for 15 years, Jono.
No, I thought it's great. The Allies finally had a huge championships last year. They've been down for ages. It's their turn to shine, and players have been rewarded for it.
The AFL will listen to the Melbourne Mafia and adjust the draft points formula to make it more difficult to land top 10 picks next year.
Well, that's already been mentioned at the recent CEO meeting, hasn't it? So that's likely to be discussed further.
I think likely means certainty. The Olympic uniform, Jono, which I assume you've seen for Paris, came out today. We have abandoned the green and gold, traditionally, our national colours, for a deep teal form of green blazer with stone-coloured shorts and a white T-shirt. Out of 10, Jono, you give the new uniform 1 out of 10.
No.
2.
No.
3.
Go past 6. Keep
4,
going.
5.
Keep
6,
going. Keep going.
7.
I think it looks sharp.
I do too. You're giving it 7 or 8?
I'm giving it an 8, and even the athletic gear for all sports is awesome. So they've done well. It looks green to me, Jared, from what I'm looking at the moment.
It's described as a deep teal, but I think they've done a great job.
It's dark green.
Better. This is a major question, though, Jono, and I know you can get a little bit envious. Better than the Brad Johnson range at Men's Club, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Zach Butters should have been suspended by the MRO and had his case tested at the tribunal.
Yes.
The AFL should appeal the Cameron decision.
Yes.
The top four is settled.
No.
The top four is far from settled.
Yes.
Brisbane will make the top four.
No.
If the Swans are true contenders, they will easily account for the Suns.
If they're true contenders, yes.
Luke Jackson and Sean Darcy will stick it up, Kane, and work well together over the weekend.
Let's go. Who are they playing, Frio, Jared?
Frio are playing the Derby.
All the Derby. Yes.
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 The Dogs will make the 8.
No.
The Victoria State debt is a total embarrassment.
Yes.
Transgender athlete.
Sorry, I half missed that, Jerry, because I was thinking about the Bulldogs.
Okay, well, yes was the right answer. Transgender athlete Aidan Gallagher won the 200 metres girls event at McDaniel High School by 5 seconds, or about 50 metres. It has caused outrage in the USA, Jono. Mm. Is it unfair on the biological women?
Yes.
57-year-old Iron Mike Tyson will beat 27-year-old Jake Paul in a heavyweight clash in 3 months' time.
Oh, Jake Paul goes all right, but no, he's not. No, yes, he will. Yes.
I think he will. He was ripped. He's actually got less fat on him than Kane.
That'll be your last one here, Jared.
Port Adelaide will beat Collingwood.
At the G, no.
Carlton will beat the Giants.
That is played at, yes, they will at Marvel.
Jono, enjoy the racing. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.